Our Heavenly Father, as we gather together in your name, and I pray that as we sit by your feet to study your word, I pray that you open our eyes, that we can see what you have to say to us, and give us an obedient heart, a heart that to submit to you, and be at peace with you, and so that by doing so, prosperity will come to each and every one of us. And I pray that you help your servant as he explained your word to your children. I pray that you open our eyes that we can see the glorious light of your gospel. And we are attracted by your word and willing to follow you and follow you all the days of our life. And I pray all this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. So today we talk about Romans chapter 1, starting in verse 11. Jean, could you read that, starting in verse 8 first, all the way to the end of chapter 1.
First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for all of you, because your faith is being reported all over the world. God, whom I serve with my whole heart in preaching the gospel of his Son, is my witness how constantly I remember you in my prayers at all times. And I pray that now at last my God's will, the way, may be open for me to come to you. I long to see you so that I may impart to you some spiritual gift to make you strong, that is, that you and I may be mutually encouraged by each other's faith. I do not want you to be unaware, brothers, that I planned many times to come to you, but have been prevented from doing so until now, in order that I might have a harvest among you, just as I have had among the other Gentiles.
Okay, I want to stop here first. Explain that to you in verse 8 all the way to verse 13. This letter was written not to the unbeliever. This letter was written to, first of all, in verse 6, written to those who are called to belong to Jesus Christ. And verse 5, this letter was written to those not only to have faith in Jesus and also to obey in our Lord Jesus Christ in verse 5. And then in verse 7, this letter was written to those who are loved by God and called to be saints. And now in verse 8, this letter was written to those their faith is being reported all over the world. They are all Christians. But one thing Paul is worrying about is a lot of Christians. They say that they believe in Jesus Christ, and yet they are not serving God. They are not serving God. And the reason why they are not serving God, first of all, they don't know that they have the spiritual gifts in verse 11. And that's one of the reasons why Paul wants to go to where they are in Rome. I long to see you so that I may impart to you some spiritual gifts to make you strong. As Christian, if you don't have spiritual gifts, we won't be strong. I want you to write it down. Right beside spiritual gifts, you write down 12. That is Romans chapter 12. Okay? But I'm not going to talk about that now. But I will talk about that when I study Romans chapter 12. Okay? So I long to see you so that I may impart to you some spiritual gifts to make you strong. In other words, having the faith to believe in Jesus Christ as a Christian is not good enough, because we will be very, very weak. The only way that you be a strong Christian, you start to exercise your muscle. The spiritual gift is the muscle. You have to exercise it. You exercise it, that muscle will be strong. You use the spiritual gift, your faith will be strong. Okay? So that's why Paul saying that I long to to see you so that I may impart to you some spiritual gift. How did Paul impart spiritual gifts to people? Paul laid hand on their head. Okay? And that's how Paul did to his spiritual son, Timothy. I give you an example. Turn to 2 Timothy chapter 1. Thank you very much. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 6. For this reason, I remind you to fan into flame the gifts of God which is in you through the laying on of my hand. When Paul laid hand on Timothy, and Paul impart the spiritual gifts to Timothy. For God did not give us a spirit of timidity, but a spirit of power, of love, and of self-discipline. So, I want you to write down 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 6 and 7. Right beside verse 11. I long to see you so that I may impart to you some spiritual gifts. Right beside here, you write down 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 6 to 7. It is not only Paul has that power. I want you also write down Acts chapter 8. Peter and John has the same kind of power. In the book of Acts, chapter 8, those believers in Samaria believed in the gospel through the preaching of Philip, and they even baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, and yet they have not received the Holy Spirit. So when Peter and John, when they were in Jerusalem, heard of that, Samaria has accepted the word of God. So they sent Peter and John to them. When they arrived, chapter 8 verse 15, they prayed for them and that they may receive the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit had not yet come upon any of them. They have simply been baptized into the name of the Lord Jesus. Then Peter and John placed their hand on them, and they received the Holy Spirit. And they received the Holy Spirit. First of all, if you are non-believer, you don't have the Holy Spirit in your heart. But once you become a believer, you're supposed to have the Holy Spirit within your heart. If you don't, then the pastors, you're supposed to ask the pastor. The pastor should lay hand on you so that you receive the Holy Spirit. When you receive the Holy Spirit, because the Spirit is not a spirit of timidity, it's a spirit of power, then you'll be strengthened. On top of that, you need the spiritual gifts according to Romans chapter 12, according to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Okay? Both of them are in chapter 12. You need the spiritual gifts. Once you exercise your spiritual gifts, you will get blessing from Jesus Christ. When you get blessing from Jesus Christ, your faith will be strengthened. If you don't serve God, your faith won't be strengthened. In other words, when a father seeing his children and serving and helping out to do housework, his father is very happy, so his father is going to bless you. When you are strengthened by the grace, by the blessing, then your love of the family will increase. In the same way, when you start serving God, and the Lord will bless your health, bless your job, and bless all areas of your life. You understand? But you can't serve God without spiritual gifts. You need the spiritual gift to serve God. Each person, each Christian, at least one spiritual gift. Okay? I tell you one thing. You say, oh, I don't know what kind of spiritual gifts I have. I tell you what you're going to do. In our church, you start setting up the chair, cleaning up the floor, washing dishes, prepare, cooking, all that. And then once you start doing that, the Lord will tell you more about your spiritual gift. But that's the first area. you should start serving. Okay? And Joshua, I tell you, what's your spiritual gift? But looks like your natural talent is violin, right? But you can use that violin for God's kingdom to bring people to come to know you. You know what? A lot of children, they want three lessons. I don't know how much you can charge. Can you charge $50 an hour? Can you? Well, you could, but you say, well, if you come to this church, I give you three lessons. A lot of people are greedy. Because they come here, they hear the gospel, then you become my co-worker. Just like 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 1, as God's fellow worker, I urge you not to receive God's grace in vain. And now that you give out your spiritual gifts of helping children how to play a violin, the condition is, I don't charge you anything, the condition is, when you learn how to play it, you got to serve in the church. If you're not a Christian in this church, I'm sorry, I won't teach you. Because the blessing comes to our children first, God's family first. You understand? By setting all these criteria, they come to the church, they listen to the sermon, they end up what? Become a believer. Just like Ravina, they come here and become a believer. You know what I'm trying to say? They come here with all kind of it. Some people, they want freebie. We give it to them for the kingdom of God's sake. Okay? Not for money. That $50 doesn't make you rich. But that $50 that you forsake and willing to bring people into the kingdom of God, then you become my co-worker. And I'm a co-worker of Jesus Christ. That means you're a co-worker with Jesus. Could you read that? 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 1.
As God's fellow workers, we urge you not to receive God's grace in vain.
So, I don't want to receive God's grace in vain. Whatever the blessing I have received from the Lord, I want to give it up. I want to use it. I want to draw people to come to Jesus. You understand what I'm trying to say? By serving them, your faith will be strengthened. How can your faith be strengthened? Because when you give it up, I want you to write down right beside 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 1. You write down Acts chapter 20, verse 35. It is more blessed to give than to receive. The moment when you give it out free of charge, and the Lord say, wow, you do that for my kingdom's sake, for the sake of my name, you see, ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. All these things that you require, the Lord will give it to you. The Lord will fulfill the desire of your heart. I want you to write it down. Psalm 145, verse 19 and 20. When you fear the Lord, because you know that those people who refuse to serve God is the one who don't fear God. And you say, Lord, I want to serve you. I fear God. You know what? If you fear the Lord will fulfill the desire of your heart. When you cry out to him, and he will answer you and deliver you. When you love God, God gonna watch over you and protect your life. Give you good health. You got that? Psalm 145, verse 19 and 20. Read that to me. So I want you to write down. What do you want to write down? 2 Corinthians 6, 1, Psalm 145, 19 to 20. What else did I just say? Okay. Act. Oh, man. Act 20, 35. I want you to read all these Bible verses, okay? By doing so, we are not receiving God's grace in vain. Whatever I receive, I give it out. And so as to draw people into the kingdom of God. Same as what Paul saying in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, whatever I do it for the kingdom of God. If I remember right, 1 Corinthians 9:23, I think, and 9:27. Okay? Read these two Bible verses together. Whatever I do it for preaching the gospel, for bringing people to come to know Jesus. I'm not doing it, Phoebe, so as to fill up my name. So, oh, John Lamb is really kind, you know, he knows how to play violin and give Phoebe. No. The reason why I give freebie is so that I want you to come to know Jesus. Come here, listen to the sermon. So, Josh, could you read them all? First of all, Psalm 145, 19 to 20.
Psalm 145, 19 to 20. He fulfills the desires of those who fear him. He hears their cry and saves them. The Lord watches over all who love him, but all the wicked he will destroy.
So I not only fear God, I love God. That's why I serve you. Because I know that those who lazy people claim himself to be Christian and refuse to serve God, they are those who don't fear God. So that's why Paul saying that. I want to come to your place and lay hand on you, give you some spiritual gift so that you be strengthened. When you are strengthened, you can serve God. When you serve God, you will not see God empty-handed. You'll be richly welcome into the kingdom of God. Second Peter chapter 1, verse 11. Go ahead, keep on reading it. Acts 20:35.
In everything I did, I showed you that by this kind of hard work, you must help the weak. Remembering the words the Lord Jesus himself said, it is more blessed to give than to receive.
So when you give it out, the Lord say, you give it out on my behalf, I give you more. So right beside that, you write down Matthew 6:33. Why is more blessed to give than to receive? When you give on behalf of Jesus, Jesus say, I give you back. I pay you back. Matthew 6:33. Hey, brother and sister, I want to make sure all these Bible verses, I want you to memorize it. Okay? Okay? So read that. Matthew 6:33.
But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well.
Okay? And I believe, I strongly believe that if you are willing to give a freebie or violin lesson, you are following Jesus. Why? Because in 2 Corinthians, chapter 8, verse 9, Jesus was rich, but for our sake he became poor, so that we can become rich. By doing so, you're following Jesus. 2 Corinthians, chapter 8, verse 9.
We know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, so that you through his poverty might become rich.
Okay, by doing so, we follow the very footstep of Jesus Christ. So, 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 23 and 27.
I do all this for the sake of the gospel, that I may share in its blessing.
So I do this not to build up my name, nor do I do it to build up my kingdom. I do it for the kingdom of Jesus, okay? I do all this for the sake of the gospel, so that I may share in its blessing. 27. When you're doing so, what should you do?
No, I beat my body and make it my slave, so that after I have preached to others, I myself will not be
So I want to be richly welcome into the kingdom of God. Okay? 2 Peter 1:11. Do you want to see Jesus Christ empty-handed, or you want to be richly welcomed into his kingdom? Oh, I just barely saved, you know. Whew. or you're going to stand up and receive a warm welcome. Jean, what do you want?
Warm
welcome. Warm welcome. You know what I mean? By doing so, you got that. Brother and sister, I want you to discover your own spiritual gift. Starting from what? Michael, clean up the chair, mop the floor, wash dishes. Start with that first. Okay? In verse 8, first I thank my God through Jesus Christ for all of you, because your faith is being reported all over the world. They have faith in Jesus. But remember what Peter said in 2 Peter chapter 1, I think in verse what? I think it was 5, verse 4, something like that, or verse 6. You have to add goodness to faith. To goodness, you have to add knowledge. Knowledge, perseverance, right? And then self-control, and then godliness, and then brotherly kindness, and then love, right? We have to add to it. So that's exactly what Paul, what's the reason for Paul to come to a place that he has never been? Because he wants to impart spiritual gift to them, so that want to add what? Add faith, add goodness into this faith. Could you read that? 2 Peter chapter 1. By doing so, then we can enter into the kingdom of God with rich blessing, with warm welcome. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 5. Okay, starting verse 5 all the way to 11. Josh, could you read that?
For this very reason, make every effort to add to your faith goodness, and to goodness knowledge, and to knowledge self-control, and to self-control perseverance, and to perseverance godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love. For if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But if anyone does not have them, he is nearsighted and blind, forgotten that he has been cleansed from his past sins.
Verse 10.
Therefore, my brothers, be all the more eager to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you will never fall, and you will receive a rich welcome to the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
So that is the reason why Paul wanted to go there. Okay? Because of your faith is being reported all over the world. They have faith, but they don't have goodness yet. They don't have knowledge. They're not serving yet. You understand what I'm trying to say, Hannah? Okay, that's the reason for that. You know, some people ask me, how do you know that you can believe in the book of Romans? And how can you believe you can believe the Second Peter? They are all linked together. Oh, now I see that, right? Right? Right. You memorize it, then you see that. They're all linked together. Verse 9. God, whom I serve with my whole heart. How did he serve God? In preaching the gospel of his Son. God is my witness how constantly I remember you in my prayer at all times. How did Paul serve God? Number one, you write down preaching. How did Paul serve God? Because first of all, he has the gifts of preaching, so he preached the gospel of his Son Jesus Christ. And secondly, how did he serve God? He served God by prayer. Number two, I remember you in my prayer at all time, and I pray that now at last my will. At last, by God's will, the way may be open for me to come to you. You know why the way was shut? Because Satan, God's enemy, did not want Paul to go there, to implant, to impart spiritual gifts to the saints. Because when they have the spiritual gift, their faith will be strengthened. Okay? Verse 11, I long to see you so that I may impart to you some spiritual gifts to make you strong. Once we receive spiritual gifts, we start serving with that spiritual gift, brother and sister will get the benefit. Okay? And they can confirm the spiritual gift that you have received from God. That is, that you and I may be mutually encouraged by each other's faith. If you go to a church, the brother and sister within the church are refused to serve one another. And they are all lazy. And you won't be encouraged. You will be intoxicated with false doctrine. They say, wow, going to the church, I don't need to serve. And that's not true. That's not what the Bible says. Unfortunately, they don't read the Bible. They don't know what the Lord requires of them. And I do know out of the Gospel of Matthew, those people who refuse to serve God, although God gave them all the resources, they refuse to serve God, they're being kicked out of the kingdom of God. They cannot enter. Okay? So we know that we all have to serve God. So you go into this church, Apostolic Bible Church, you have a lot of opportunity to serve God. There's no reason that you don't have position to serve. Because we have four churches. Right? Preaching, teaching, serving, cooking, cleaning, you name it. We have it. Right? Okay. Romans chapter 1. If we exercise our own spiritual gifts and serve one another, for sure, we will be mutually encouraged. You and I may be mutually encouraged by each other's faith. When we exercise our spiritual gift, you will be encouraged and I will be encouraged. Verse 13. I do not want you to be unaware, brother, that I planned many times to come to you, but have been prevented from doing so until now, in order that I may have a harvest among you. So that's why Paul sent the letter first, so that they know what is required of them. If God do not spell it out, what does the Lord require each and every one of us to do? Then we don't know what to do. I just give you a few illustration. What does the Lord require of us to do? In the Old Testament, Deuteronomy chapter 10, 12 to 13 and 20. What does the Lord require us to do? Two things. Number one, fear God. Number two, love God. That's what God requires you to do. And how do I sum it up? What does it mean by love God and fear God? Two things. First, obey God's word. Secondly, serve God. If I see that you obey God's word, if I see that you serve God, I know you fear God. I know you love God. Jean, could you read that? Deuteronomy chapter 10, 12 to 13 and 20.
And now, O Israel, what does the Lord your God ask of you but to fear the Lord your God, to walk in all his ways, to love him, to serve the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul, and to observe the Lord's commands and decrees that I am giving you today for your own good. Verse 20. Fear the Lord your God and serve him. Hold fast to him and take your oaths in his name.
How do I know you love God? Two things.
If you obey God, I know you love God. If you serve God, I know you love God. If you just say, I obey God without serving, you're not really obeying Him. Why? Gospel of John, chapter 5, verse 17. My Father is working until today. And Jesus said, I'm working too. And how dare you are as Jesus' disciple, and you refuse to serve God. Okay? 5:17.
Jesus said to them, My Father is always at His work to this very day, and I too am working.
So if Jesus is working, Father is working, I want you to write beside chapter 5, verse 17, you write down 14, 12. What did Jesus say? Truly, truly, I say to you, whatever Jesus did, the one who has faith in Jesus will do even quicker thing than that, okay? Because I went to the Father and prayed for you so that you'd be strengthened. 14:12, Gospel of John. You got it?
I tell you the truth, anyone who has faith in me will do what I have been doing. He will do even greater things than these because I am going to the Father.
You know, if we claim that we have faith, I believe in Jesus, that I need to fear God, I need to love God, and you're not serving, you're not believing God. So each and every one of us has to serve God. We have to learn to serve God. Okay? Learn to fear God and learn to love Him. Second thing. In the Old Testament teaching, what does the Lord require of us to do? Micah chapter 6 verse 8. What the Lord require of us to do is to act justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with our Lord. Read that.
He has showed you, O man, what is good, and what does the Lord require of you? To act justly and to love mercy and to walk humbly with your God.
Okay, and now what does the Lord require us to do in New Testament teaching? Matthew chapter 7, verse 21. Don't just call Jesus Lord, Lord, and then you become the boss. You refuse to obey Him. When you call Him Lord, you better do the will of the Father. Then you'll be able to enter into the kingdom of God. What is His will? His will for us is to fear Him, love Him, to act justly, to love mercy, to walk humbly with our Lord God Almighty. 7:21.
Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven.
Okay. Now, we go back to Romans chapter 1. Verse 14. Jane, could you read that? 14 all the way to 17.
I am obligated both to Greeks and to non-Greeks, both to the wise and the foolish. That is why I am so eager to preach the gospel also to you who are at Rome. I am not ashamed of the gospel because it is the power of God for the salvation of everyone who believes, first for the Jew and then for the Gentile. For in the gospel a righteousness from God is revealed, a righteousness that is by faith from first to last. Just as it is written, the righteous will live by faith.
What are the reasons why Paul wants to go to Rome? First reason, number 11, want to impart some spiritual gifts to them so that they become strong. Paul don't want them to be a weak Christian. They want them to be a strong soldier for Christ. Secondly, so that we can be mutually encouraged. And thirdly, so that I might have a harvest among you. Make sure that Paul sowed the seed by writing the book of Romans to them and sent it to them. When they read the scripture and they obey God's word, and they're going to start serving God.
when they start serving God, they're going to bring people to Christ, and Paul going to have a harvest. Paul going to have a harvest. Right beside the harvest, you write down Psalm 126. Psalm 126, especially in verse 4, that's why Paul praying for them, and verse 5 and 6, and then Paul going to reap what he sowed, and people going to come to know God. Psalm 126, Gene, could you read that? I think it's only 6 Bible verses, right? Isn't it? Could you read that?
When the Lord brought back the captives to Zion, we were like men who dreamed. Our mouths were filled with laughter, our tongues with songs of joy. Then it was said among the nations, the Lord has done great things for them. The Lord has done great things for us, and we are filled with joy. Restore our fortunes, O Lord, like streams in the Negev. Those who sow in tears will reap with songs of joy. He who goes out weeping, carries seed to sow, he will return with songs of joy, carrying sheaves with him.
How can we bring people into the kingdom of God? Number 4, verse Psalm 126, verse 4, you write down number 1. Pray for them. Pray for their salvation. And secondly, preach and teach them. Sow the seed. And lo and behold, when we are fellow worker with God, and God going to move them, change them, and they come to know Christ. And you'll be so happy. And that's exactly what Paul has done. Paul, first of all, pray for them. Because I remember you in my prayer in verse 8, in verse 9 and 10, at all time. That I pray that now at last God's will, the way may be open. By God's will, the way may be open for me to come to you. Okay? First of all, Paul, pray about that. Pray for them. And then, Paul, go there. Just praying is not good enough. Okay? You have to have 2 P. First P is prayer. Second P is preaching and teaching. In order to bring people to come to know God, you have to pray for them. And you have to preach to them and teach them. So that they understand what God requires of them to do. That's why in verse 14, and Paul saying that I'm obligated both to Greek and to non-Greek. Although I'm a Jew, Paul saying, you're a Gentile, but I'm indebted to you. I owe you the gospel. Because I know the gospel freely, I should preach the gospel to you freely too. And I'm obligated both to the Greek and non-Greek. Both to the wise and the foolish. Doesn't matter whether you're male or female. I need to preach the gospel to you. That's why I'm so eager to preach the gospel also to you who are at Rome. He spelled out the reason why he wanted to go to Rome and preach the gospel to them. First of all, remember what's the reason? First of all, impart spiritual gift. Secondly, mutually encourage. Thirdly, to reap the harvest, right? Now, go to 16, and Paul saying that I am not ashamed of the gospel. I want to stop here, explain that. Nowadays, a lot of Christians are ashamed of the gospel. What does it mean by I'm not ashamed of the gospel? What does it mean? When you tell people to repent, you tell people to change their mind, change their action, change their attitude, they're going to show you in his faith, I don't like it. And he's going to say to you, you shut up. Let me ask Hannah. When your mommy and daddy talk to you and say that certain area of your life you needed to be changed, are you going to say, daddy, mommy,
I'm glad you say that. Thank you very much. I'm going to take action and change it. Is that what you say? What did you say?
Don't respond.
What? I don't get.
Respond.
You don't respond?
Yeah.
What do you mean by you don't respond?
Slow to speak. I just ponder it.
That's right. Yeah. You ponder. God, I want you to read the Bible verses, okay? Amos chapter 3, verse 3, all the way to verse 8. I want to see whether you're going to ponder. When the lion roared, how can you ponder, okay? When the lion roared, man, he's going to eat you up, okay? When God speaks, you better respond. Oh, you ponder. Man. He said, don't ever go with that boy. He just say, stop going with that boy. You don't ponder. You don't discuss with that boy. My mommy, daddy say, I shouldn't go out with you. Should we vote for it or what? Could you read that Amos chapter 3, verse 3 and 8? Joshua is a lousy counselor. He's lousy. Slow to speak.
Do two walk together unless they have agreed to do so? Does the lion roar in the thicket when he has no prey? Does he growl in his den when he has caught nothing? Does a bird fall into a trap on the ground where no snare has been set? Do traps spring up from the earth when there is nothing to catch? When a trumpet sounds in a city, do not the people tremble? When disaster comes to the city, has not the Lord caused it? Surely the sovereign God does nothing without revealing his plan to his servants, the prophets. The lion has roared. Who will not fear the sovereign God has spoken? Who can but prophesy?
So when your daddy and mommy prophesy and teach you, and should you not obey?
Yes.
He didn't want you to fall into the trap. Watch out that boy. That boy is no good. Oh, man. Joshua is there. He only know party true, you know. Okay, go back. Paul saying that I'm not ashamed of the gospel. When people tell you to shut up, you don't hate that guy. You still love him. And then next time, you go to him, share the gospel again. You understand? You know, if you ashamed of the gospel, if he tell you to shut up, he show his face to you, say, I don't like it. I don't like the way that you share to me. I don't want to be here anymore. And you are ashamed of the gospel, then you don't share. Then he or she go to hell. You want your friend to go to hell? No. I don't want my friend to go there. I want my friend to be saved. You remember 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 23? Whatever I do it all for the gospel so that I can share the blessing from God. Right? You don't just receive the good news yourself and not to tell others. Can you imagine, you know, when the enemy come to the city, you don't blow the horn? When people blow the horn, that means our enemy has come by the city already. We better prepare for the battle. When your daddy and mommy see that boy is no good and telling you, you say, I ponder. I'm going to think about that. Slow to speak. God, come on. Jean, do you understand? When he tells you to stop, you better stop. But you can ask, why, daddy? What do you see that I don't see? You can ask that. Okay? He say, well, there's a trap there. Right? Right? So I'm not ashamed of the gospel because it is the power of God for the salvation of everyone who believes. God cannot save everyone. God can only save the one who believes. If those who hear the gospel refuse to believe, he won't be saved. What does it mean by believe? Take the action that God wants you to take. That's what it means by believe. And once you believe in it, you take that action, you see the blessing. When you see the blessing next time, wow, it works. It's true. And next time I try it again, it works again. I try it again. That's why I study the Bible. Did I answer your question? It works all the time. Psalm 145 verse 17. Lord, all you're doing. Is righteous. Whatever God do, he do it out of love. So in his action, I see both righteousness and love of God. Could someone read that? Psalm 145, 17. Joyce?
The Lord is righteous in all his ways and loving toward all he has made.
So whatever God does, whatever God says, out of righteousness, out of love. And I see both. I want to prove that to you. On the cross, that's God doing it. It's God acting on it. On the cross, what did I see? Romans chapter 5 verse 8, I see God's love. Hannah, could you read that?
So God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we are still sinners, Christ died for us.
And then on the cross, what else did I see? Chapter 3. I see God's righteousness. Chapter 3, verse 25, all the way to 26.
God presented him as a sacrifice and atonement through his faith in his blood. He did this to demonstrate his justice, because in his forbearance he had left the sins committed beforehand unpunished. He did it to demonstrate his justice at the present time, so as to be just and the one who justifies those who have faith in Jesus.
So what did I see on the cross? On the cross, I see God's love. On the cross, I see God's righteousness, right? When you see the cross, you say, wow, Jesus Christ died for my sins. That means God really punished sin. But Jesus Christ take my place. If I'm being stiff-necked and refuse to receive that salvation, I will be the one hung on the cross. You understand? I see God's righteousness. I see God's love. That's the good news. That's the gospel. You understand? You believe in Jesus Christ to take your place, to be hung on the cross for your sin. You say, wow, he loved me so much. How can I refuse that? If you refuse it, you are the one end up hung on the cross. You understand what I'm trying to say? And then you die. And then you go to hell. That is bad. I don't want it to happen to me. Nor do I want it to happen to my parents. That's why ever since I come to know Christ, 3 weeks later, I let my mother to come to know Christ. I said to my mother, at that time she's 75 years old. I'm sorry, 65 years old. I say, do you want to see me when you die? In the future, she said yes, but you cannot because you believe in Buddha. The only way for you to see me in heaven is you turn trust God and repent, not to worship idol anymore, and believe in Jesus. And she said, yeah, I do. You understand what I'm trying to say? That is the good news. What did I see? I want you to write down, right beside Psalm 145, 17, the first part of 17a is God's righteousness. What did you write down? Romans 3, 25 and 26. Under 45, Psalm 145, 17b, God's love, you write down, Romans 5:8. Rabina, remember you asked me the question? How do I know? All these Bibles, one is written by David, the other is written by Paul, they all talk about the same thing. Whatever God act, whatever God do, always out of God's righteousness and God's love. In the cross, the same cross, I see both God's love and God's righteousness. You see that? That's why I love to study the Bible. Because we get blessing out of it. You see that? That one psalm was written 900 years before Christ. Roman was written is around 30 years after Christ. Close to 1,000 years apart. Talk about the same thing. I don't believe in it, I will be a fool. For the gospel is the power of God to save those who believe, to save everyone who believe. You got that? It's good stuff. So, I'm going to stop here. I'm going to talk about that next week. I will talk about more in detail for that. Our Heavenly Father, I know that you are a good God. At the same time, I know you are a righteous God. You are good not only to us. The Bible clearly stated that you are good to all those who believe in you, and all those who don't believe in you, because you want them to turn around and change and repent. And I pray that we continue to receive goodness from you and grace from you by keep on believing in you. But if we are wicked and do not want your goodness, do not want your love, we end up pay for our own mistake. And we can't take that. It's too much for us to carry. And I pray that you give us wisdom, understanding, knowledge, so that we can turn around and repent and belong to you and believe in you too. And I pray all this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.